The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's very lovely to see you here this morning in our service of morning prayer. And even though our location is 100 yards different, everything we have to say to the Lord this morning is the same. And everything the Lord has to say to us this morning, don't know. That's for the Lord to say to us, but we're here to meet with him. And it's absolutely lovely to see you. We have a lot of notices this morning. Maybe take your seats. Just to remind you that there are Monday crafts for anyone who is interested over the summer period in 162 Upper Knockbreda Road, just across the main road there from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. They have been very generous and welcoming us to communion the first Tuesday and the third Tuesday of every month over the last 2 months. They're a lovely group there. To remind you that this Thursday there are going to be prayers over Zoom at 7 p.m. Next Sunday there will be 9 a.m. Holy Communion here, morning prayer at 11 a.m. here, and evening prayer at 7 p.m. in the upstairs hall. For your diary, just giving you some information for further down the line, Bible Week. The Bishop's Bible Week in 2023 will run from the 29th of August until the 1st of September in Willowfield Church. The speaker there will be Reverend Greg Downs. The theme will be true conversion, and he will be leading us in four studies in the first chapter of Colossians. He will also be the speaker at a youth night in the same venue, Willowfield Church, on Saturday the 7th of September at 7:45. I'm sure you could all sneak in there. You'd all get away with the youth night. Now, some notices for here. We're asking for some volunteers to sign up to help us at 10:15 in the morning in preparation for our 11 o'clock service. We're asking for some people to come and set up chairs. It shouldn't take too long. And also we're asking for people to come along and just be around in case anyone needs help accessing the halls, coming down that hill. I think everything seemed to be straightforward this morning, but just in case, it's nice to have some people, as well as our wardens, giving a hands-on welcome. So as you leave, there are two sign-up sheets, and if you're able to stick your name down on one or both of them, we'd be very grateful. To remind you that there will be no parking on site, no parking in the grounds from next week until the work is done, but people with access issues can be dropped off at the doors and those welcomers, or at the gates rather, and those welcomers will bring you down. I have another bit of information. Peter Armstrong, you're not mic'd up, but would you like to tell us if anything special has happened to you? Peter is engaged as of Thursday. Isn't that lovely? So he's engaged to a tremendously lucky woman called Erin. And how lovely. So a year today. So a year today, he's going to be walking up the aisle. Fantastic. So well done. Congratulations to you. That's lovely. Let's commence our worship together. And let's stand and sing hymn number 59, New Every Morning Is the Love. Thank you. Our service of morning prayer this morning begins on page 101 in our prayer books, if you're following there. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve You in newness of life, to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm today is Psalm 133, and you can find it on page 749 of the prayer book, or it will be on the screen for you. Let's stand and say it together. Behold how good. Behold how good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard, even on Aaron's beard, running down upon the collar of his clothing. It is like the dew of Hermon, running down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has promised his blessing, even life forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 701, which we'll stand and sing together. Jubilate, everybody.
Today's New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. Jesus went to the territory near the town of Caesarea Philippi, where he asked his disciples, "Who do you people say the Son of Man is?" "Some say John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say Elijah," while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet. "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Good for you, Simon, son of John," answered Jesus. For this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church, and not even death will ever be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and what you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Let's stand and affirm our faith together by saying together the Apostles' Creed. This can be found on page 112 if you're following in the prayer book. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our collect prayer for today, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power, most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we come to the point in the service where we think about and unpack some of the thoughts in our reading, let's bring ourselves to God in worship. We'll stand and sing together hymn number 645, Father, hear the prayer we offer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it is to worship you, to sing to you, to pray to you. And now help us as together we consider how you speak with us. Amen. Please take your seats. First of all, can I say a very big thank you to the so many people who have helped and prepared things for this Sunday. The work is going to be starting as of tomorrow. There's a meeting with the foreman tomorrow morning, and I sent a message to see what time that meeting would be. 7:30 in the morning. I still am not sure if I believe it. I wonder if someone's having a laugh with me. But there you go. And while the work's carrying on, we'll be here worshiping in spirit and in truth, as we've been given the privilege of doing by God our Father. And thank you to those people in the Select Vestry and the vestries before them for putting these plans together. Thank you to the tech team, the team who are here this morning, and those who have been here on other Sundays, who have put things together so nicely so you can hear and see everything. And I know that there are people at home who are sharing with us this morning in spirit and truth as we've been gifted by God our Father. And thank you for people who came here on, was it Wednesday night? There was a flock of people who were able to come here on Wednesday night, and the work of moving things was done quick as a flash. It was lovely. And thank you to you for sharing our time of worship this morning. It's always a pleasure to worship with you. Now, I know that when you're not here on Sunday morning, you do keep in touch with each other. And I know that you use WhatsApp groups. There's probably about 50 to 60 WhatsApp groups represented here this morning. I know I'm on 50 of them. And there's, among the groups, there's a toddlers group. There's all sorts. I know there'll be one about teas, the catering that happens. I know that there is a Aren't We So Fortunate With Our Curate WhatsApp group. I know that there is Can't Wait To See The Back Of The Curate WhatsApp group. But there was a message that went out on the toddlers group, and it said this. It said, the church has fallen down. It went round like wildfire. An overenthusiastic plumber had pulled a pipe just that bit too hard. The whole thing had come down. By mid-morning, over 200 members of this congregation gathered and stood around the pile of stones that had been St. Finian's Parish Church. There was now a clear view from Craigor Park up into the hills. The ground was leveled. The builders were told in no uncertain terms to get off site fast if they knew what was good for them. It was a scene of devastation. No more church. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to the congregation and stood there in the midst of the stones. The angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news and bad news. What do you want first? And the congregation said, give us the bad news first. And the angel said, the bad news is this. You're a bunch of twits. They said, well, that's very offensive. Why? He said, I'll give you the good news. The good news is this, someone interrupted the angel. God's going to build a new church, the same as it was, but with better toilets. And the angel said, no. The good news is this. God has already built his church. And God's church is you. And you should have known this already. And he pointed to the clergy. You should have known this already. You should have been speaking about nothing else. 2,000 years ago, Jesus and his friends, as was so beautifully read for us this morning, Jesus and his friends were in a place called Caesarea. It was named after the Roman ruler, Caesar. It was a center of very old religion Different types of religion had been based there for many, many years. Roman gods and older gods were worshipped there. And there was also this great big cave, this pit, that people called the gates of hell. It was here that Peter turned to Jesus and said, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Not any old God. You are the Son of the living God." And it was here in Caesarea that Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Petros," meaning rock. "You are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not overcome it." The truth that Peter declared is the foundation of the church. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the cornerstone on which we are all built. Now, church is a funny word. It's a translation of a Greek word, which is completely different. Church is the word that we use commonly to mean a place. More commonly, we use it to mean a building. But you and I know that that's actually not what the word church means. Jesus said, "On this rock, I will build my ecclesia." The word he used, ecclesia, means assembly. It means gathering. It wasn't actually a religious word. If you had a town council getting together, they were an ecclesia. Never in the history of worship did one person ever enter church. Sure, people have entered buildings, places of worship, by themselves, but you can't enter church by yourself any more than you can assemble by yourself or gather by yourself. Now, over time, from those words that Jesus and Peter spoke to one another, time moved on, and Christianity, as it became to be called by, funnily enough, by the enemies of the faith, the original Christians were called members of the Way. It was called the Way, which is beautiful. "I am the Way, the Truth, and the Life." And they were part of the Way. Those people who would criticize the Christians, they called them Christ ones, Christians. And that's a name we've adopted. And those Christians, the religion became more common. The faith, to an extent, was tamed. And it became safe to build buildings and have them registered publicly as a place of Christian worship. Until then, Christian places of worship had been kept secret or had been just off the wayside for fear of persecution, for fear of trouble. These buildings that were built as the message spread, and this went on, and in this country now, we have countless places of worship. When I first moved over here, I found myself at the bottom of the Newtonards Road, and I walked, I think, half a mile, and I couldn't believe how many churches I'd counted. There must have been, I would say, about 10 churches in half a mile. And it was amazing. Not like the heathen Scotland where I came from. When the churches were built here originally, they were largely buildings which contained empty space. Worshippers would stand, and only the very wealthy would have a pew or pews to sit on. Pews are a relatively modern concept, would you believe? But these beautiful buildings, as beautiful and as gorgeous as they are and were, they're not church. They're places of worship. It's a difference. But again, they are indeed beautiful. And the St. Finian's Parish Church building is a prime example. Built, as we know, about 90, 91 years ago, it was a project of love determination and absolute loyalty to a calling. Apparently, even its location originally was disputed, and it wasn't going to be here, but they said no. This congregation said, no, we want it here, on top of the hill. This is where it needs to go. Perfect. And it surely is one of the most beautiful buildings in the country, set in the most gorgeous of grounds. It is literally picture perfect. And in the winter, when it snows and the lights are on, I could quite happily stand and look at it for hours. I broke my phone taking photographs of the church. I thought, this place is so beautiful. I took a photograph of the church. I had my phone in one hand. I also had the dog lead in the same hand. The dog went in one direction. My phone went in the other direction. Needed a new phone. That's how beautiful the church was. I broke my phone over it. And that church building is where we worship. And if it's 90 years old, well, then the bricks hold 90 times 90 times 90 and more memories and moments of love that we can look back on. We have memories of people that we have worshiped together with, those who have come, those who have gone. Psalms that we have said, collects that we have said, songs that we have sung. The bricks in our place of worship are precious, and don't let anyone say otherwise. They were gathered, dedicated to God's work, and they are precious. However, they are not quite church. Church cannot be built in brick and stone. It must be built in flesh, bone, mind, body, spirit. Those are the building blocks of church. St. Peter, after that conversation with Jesus and many years on, he managed to settle and write some letters. And in one of his letters, he said that Jesus is the living stone. And that is what we are. We too are living stones. We too hold memories. Only our memories, the memories in our bones and our sinews, they have the echo of not 90 years, but they have the echo of eternity. We living stones were placed according to architectural plans that were actually made at a time that predates those words, let there be light. We are an ancient, ancient thing. It is wonderful. We are an ancient, glorious, worldwide church on which the sun will never set, and the gates of hell will never prevail. We are not a picture-perfect church. We have made mistakes. We will make mistakes. I've made more than any of you put together. That is just the nature of church. We are complicated and flawed. But as we love the Lord, excuse me, getting a wee bit emotional. But why shouldn't we get emotional when we speak about the gift of church that we have been given? And as we love the Lord and declare Jesus to be the Savior of the world, we are strengthened and built on in His image. Now, some of us are worried that our place of worship, just up the hill, the place that we absolutely love, will never be the same again. We want everyone to be welcome, whatever their access needs. But we worry that we're losing a treasure or changing a treasure. Well, we need to remember that when heaven and earth are made new, when Christ returns and there is a new heaven and a new earth and everything is made right, we're going to see our Lord Jesus Christ. And do we know how we will recognize Him? We will recognize Him by His hands and His feet. We will recognize him by his scars. Revelation tells us that when we see Christ, this is a picture that we're given. We will see him as the lamb that was slain. It's a gory old image. Something that we have to puzzle out in our heads. It's not picture perfect. Jesus, as a man, did not end up looking as he did when he was young. He wore the scars, and his mummy must have wept so many tears over those scars in the darkest of moments. A good Bible is always falling apart. A good soldier is always scarred. A good place of worship always has the marks of change, and herein lies its beauty. Now, we here in this congregation, we have the luxury of having some of the best architects that have been chosen and gathered together to oversee what's happening up the hill. The end result in our place of worship will not look scarred. It will not look anything like that. It will continue to be beautiful. It will look changed, though. It will look as if a congregation, an ecclesia, who love God and love neighbor, have decided to give of themselves. And there's little in creation that is more beautiful than that. We are the church. As flawed as we are the church. We are ancient living stones, carved in the image of Christ. Christ, who is the living stone. Bricks and stones, hills and mountains will come and they will go. Even the hill that we are worshiping on just now, it will have its day. But the church, the body of Christ, will always prevail. Nothing, not even the gates of hell, will stand against it. Let's take a quiet moment and then let's pray together as church. Heavenly Father, in our prayers this morning, we want to bring to you our brothers and sisters in Christ who will be worshiping you over this weekend. We pray for those who will meet in city cathedrals across the globe. We ask you to meet with them in their time and place of worship, giving them all they need for the days to come. We pray for those who will meet in parish churches and local church buildings across the globe. We ask you to meet them in their time and place of worship, giving them all they need for the days and weeks to come. We pray for those who will meet in school halls or borrowed buildings across the globe. We ask you to meet them in their time and place of worship, giving them all they need for the days and weeks to come. We pray too for those who will meet in people's homes across the globe. We ask you to meet them in their time and place of worship, giving them all they need for the days and weeks to come. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who meet in secret for fear of prosecution and persecution or worse. We ask you to meet them across the globe in their time and place of worship and give them especially all they need for the days and weeks to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for sisters and brothers who are worshiping in war this Sunday. Whether they find themselves in a country that is aggressor or a country that is defender, may their own actions reflect your call for peace and justice. May your church never be tamed. And if your church finds itself in a country where the government is an aggressor, may your living stones speak out. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who meet in famine or who are recovering from flood or fire. Keep them safe, and may they in turn serve the community around them. And we pray for those who meet this Sunday in sadness. And we call to mind those who are known to us, some of whom who are here, some are in the houses around us, some are watching online. We pray for those who are bereaved, those who are awaiting operations or procedures for themselves or for loved ones. We pray for those who meet this Sunday who are struggling with depression or mental ill health, some of whom the idea of coming out to church is just too much. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for our own church building, a much-loved, beautiful place. May the work being carried out be watched over and guided by you. May it be blessed. May the builders be safe. And may they see from us our comings and goings that you are Lord. May the finished work be honoring to you and the most vulnerable in our communities. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers. In the name of your dear Son, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just as we remember that there is no sun setting on the body of Christ today, let's sing hymn number 522, In Christ There Is No East or West. Thank you for worshiping us this morning, and it's been a pleasure to be with you. Let's bring our service to a close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, wherever you go, whoever you are with, and wherever you worship, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn today is hymn number 652, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us.